Powers to Protect, brought to you by Southeast Radio, the IBI, and funded by Commission na Mban with the television licence fee.
Welcome to this episode of Ours to Protect. I'm Ella, I'm 17, and I will be taking you through this series on Southeast Radio. On today's show, we're exploring the natural side of Earth. That's right, we're talking about biodiversity. From buzzing bees to towering trees, every living thing plays a special part in keeping nature balanced and beautiful. Ready to discover how it all fits together and what we can do to help? We're diving nose first into the hedges, rock pools, fields and forests of our own gardens and schoolyards to explore the amazing biodiversity hiding all around us. Yep, right here in sunny Southeast Ireland. So whether you're listening from a schoolyard in Gorey, a farm in Feathered, or the beach in Ballymoney, today's show is packed with inspiration, tips, and practical advice you can start using today. So let's begin with a simple definition. With ChatGPT and AI telling us everything nowadays, we asked it to define for us exactly what biodiversity was. Let's take a listen.
Biodiversity is all the different kinds of life you'll find in one area, the variety of animals, plants, fungi, and even microorganisms like bacteria that make up our natural world.
This series is all about hearing children's voices and their perspective. So this episode features young people from Oil Gate National School, Screen National School, Skilmurra Horswood, Crossabeg National School, and St. Mary's New Ross. We began by asking the young people for their own definition of biodiversity and what it means to them.
Biodiversity means to me that we need to look after our plants.
So what animals and creatures do the children hear out in their own gardens and in the schoolyard, and why are they important?
In my backyard, I actually have a woodpecker that comes to my bird feeder every early morning and late evening. Well, it comes like once a week maybe. And I have a pond, and sometimes you'd be lucky to hear the frogs. And it's just
Do you ever
nice.
See the frogs?
Like once or twice maybe.
In my backyard, I can see lots of bees, butterflies, rabbits, foxes, and loads of different types of birds.
You can hear the birds, and you can see like hedgehogs and all.
You can see ravens, sparrows, black crows.
We know that a lot of creatures and animals are important for biodiversity, but why do you think bees and butterflies are especially important?
Bees and butterflies are really important because they're pollinators and we need them to pollinate our food. And more of them are dying due to certain sprays we're used when we're spraying crops.
Well, bees and the butterflies pollinate all the wild bushes, the wild trees and the wild flowers. So the trees like help us live our lives really.
Bees and butterflies are crucial for pollination, a process vital for planet reproduction, plant reproduction, and therefore essential for food security and biodiversity.
We then asked the children what would happen if there were no more trees in the world.
Well, the trees suck in all the carbon dioxide and release oxygen for us and all the animals. So without trees, some species would be extinct.
The ecosystems would collapse and there'd be a lot of like landslides and floods and all.
There wouldn't be like habitats for like birds and their nests, and we wouldn't have oxygen either.
If there were no more trees in the world, we would have way too much carbon dioxide in our atmosphere, mm-hmm. and a lot of animals would die out because many animals use trees as their natural habitat.
If all the trees were gone in the world would face a severe ecological crisis, meaning a wave of extinctions of several different species would come crashing in.
So how do kids take care of the earth in both school and at home and make sure we keep it green?
You could go, sometimes what I do is I go around with our wheelbarrow and then we normally put, like pick up the rubbish, like sometimes if we're sorting out the garden, we pick up the rubbish and put it in the wheelbarrow and then we would sort it all out and put it in different bins.
They can do picker pals and they can try and clean the earth. There's an ad somewhere and it's like, don't throw rubbish everywhere. And it's like rubbish in the air and all. Mm-hmm. Like you can see bags on the side of the road and all. And you can go just stop, like my granddad does. You can stop and then just grab them and put them in.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you could also put a bottle.
and you would get some 15 cents off that.
Well, what you could do is you could like take rubbish, you could like, clean the water and all. If you go to the beach, you could pick stuff out of the water and the sand and all.
You could put the right stuff in the right bin.
You could plant trees and plant flowers.
I know something about the garbage truck, but they're cleaning it and they put in a rubbish pile and it flies away the rubbish stuff.
Really?
I hope I could try and remember, okay, that bin is recycling, that bin is dirty and that bin is food bin. Because sometimes I put recycling in the dirty because I forget to wash it out. Mm-hmm. So I just put it in the dirty bin instead of rinsing it out and putting it in the recycling when it's meant to be recycled.
What you could do is you could plant trees and water trees.
We get to help the environment, and I like planting plants with my family. Mm-hmm. And I like being, like, I normally am scared of spiders. And one time there was a spider and everyone was going to kill it, and I was like, no, don't kill it. And then I saved him and put him back on the grass so then he's not scared of anyone else.
Do you know any animals that are endangered or need our help to survive?
Polar bears' homes are being melted by climate change, and the ice caps are melting because of climate change, so polar bears' homes are being destroyed and they need our help to survive.
The curlew is endangered because some like animals like foxes or badgers are destroying their nests and eating all their eggs, and then some their habitat is being wiped out for construction.
Curlew, is that what you said?
Yeah.
What's that?
It's a bird with like a curly beak, and they live in marshes and like by rivers.
Aren't like pandas and polar bears or something?
Some types of lions and tigers are going extinct.
I forgot the name of it, but the rhino that's extinct.
It's not like an animal, but bees are getting really bad just because people could kill them.
Armored leopards, hawks, blue turtles, gorillas, tigers, red pandas, Javan rhinos.
Some species of birds.
Why do you think it's important to protect nature and all the living things in it?
We're the future, so if we don't protect the planet now, then the other future will die.
We need to help nature because it's helping us, like Keane said. So our future generations could be put in danger if we don't look after the ecosystems, nature, now.
If like certain animals go endangered now, the future generation might not even believe that they actually existed.
We can plant wildflowers and we can recycle plastic bottles and containers, and we can not litter.
It's important to protect the homes of animals because they would likely go extinct and that could ruin our ecosystem.
For birds, we can get more bird seeds, and for endangered animals, we can make like a sanctuary.
We need the habitats like forests, rivers and oceans, because not only are they the homes of species around us, they're our homes too. Mm-hmm. And we need them to survive.
You should be careful about trampling flowers and plants and all. Mm-hmm. And like, don't cut your grass in May because a lot of flowers come up, and then that will get the bees to pollinate more so they can survive for the coming months.
Up next, we're going to hear from Councillor Leonard Kelly. Leonard has recently been appointed as chair of Westford Biodiversity Action Plan Group. The group, which will guide a 5-year strategy, is tasked with protecting and restoring biodiversity through the county in line with the national and EU environment legislation. So we began by asking Leonard what his top priorities are as chair of this very important group.
Really simply, to ensure that this group is a group that's open and transparent and that's very, very inclusive, but more to the point that it's one that actually gets work done. This is an area that we really need focused action. We need plans that are implemented, that are resourced. It's something that we need the full community to be behind it and to be aware of everything that we are doing. So all of those. So to chair the meetings, to ensure we have the right people at the table, that we have momentum moving forward. And look, to also ensure that like we, as much as possible, work in a creative way. We are going to be working with communities and with diverse communities. So it's to ensure that all of those feel heard, but also are included. So to move forward with action. So over the last 2 months, there's been an online survey and a discussion paper on biodiversity. It's been widely available, both online and in libraries across the county. There were 4 separate in-person consultation events in libraries across the county in April. Our biodiversity officer, Claire Goodwin, has raised awareness of the plan process on biodiversity and climate action fortnight, which has been happening over the last number of weeks, which has been taking part across the county. Look, I suppose this is only the pre-draft stage. There will be further consultation once the plan is drafted, and a formal period of public consultation then will get underway, and that's likely to be towards the end of the year. But I would see this as something that I intend that all of the communities will be continually engaged with.
So what specific habitats or species in Wexford are most at risk, and how will the plan address their protection or restoration?
A lot of people mightn't think this, but all habitats are at risk. Especially the less robust ones, like wetlands, like ponds, like rivers, all which are struggling with poor water quality. And like, for example, we've all seen the recent example of Ladies Island in the news. Invasive species are a real concern for the county. They are spreading at an alarming rate across public and private land. So a national task force is really needed on this, because currently it's really done in a much more ad hoc approach. So it's not sufficient. Like, currently really all people talk about is Japanese knotweed. There needs to be much more. So this plan will aim to collaboratively identify strong actions which can have practical but also implementable, and we need to get support from lots of agencies. So we need to get, like, Department of Agriculture, we need to get Chagask, you know, in terms of water quality. We need to get Quilch in terms of woodlands. We need to get Law Pro in terms of rivers and other catchment areas. So, like, biodiversity is all around us. We live with it, we live in it. So the message that I want to sound really loud and clear is that every citizen does have a part to play, that the national plan then is something that the whole society, and we have to take that whole society approach.
We then asked Leonard what role does he see education and public awareness playing in the success of this plan?
It's going to be huge. It has to be the core. For this to succeed, that has to be a core and fundamental part of this and across the 5 years. So we are at the pre-consultation phase. We will publish. But I would see this as something that we need to keep this active, we need to keep this current across the 5 years, across all communities and ages.
So how will progress be measured and reported to ensure accountability throughout the plan's 5-year duration?
I report back to government each year on the achievements must now be made across the council, not just on the biodiversity officer, but each department has a role. So a message that strongly needs to be heard by the council management is that everybody in every department does have a role. The Wildlife Amendment Act in 2023 introduced a new public sector duty on biodiversity. So the legislation provided that every public body as listed in the Act, and that would include local authorities, is obliged to have regard to the objectives and targets within the National Biodiversity Plan. So it's going to be very heavily tracked and monitored.
What challenges does Leonard anticipate in delivering on the biodiversity goals, and how does he intend to overcome them?
I suppose support in-house from other departments within the council. There's also going to be budgetary constraints. So currently the only budget available to the biodiversity officer would be funds sourced from the NPWS and the Heritage Council. So it is quite small. She's also managed to get some matching funding through grant allocations. Mm-hmm. But I do believe that this is an area that all councillors, it's not just like in terms of myself as the person chairing this, that we all have to advocate for more funding in within this area, because there is a legislative framework backing this up. Mm-hmm. So we do need to pay due care and attention to it. So all my fellow councillors and the communities, I suppose, also need to have an awareness that we need to allow nature into our communities. So the idea that we can have highly manicured areas on an ongoing basis, like green deserts everywhere, we need to start thinking beyond that. Mm. We can have things looking well, but we also have to have that due consideration. Yes, for people, but also for nature, across the board, wherever we do any activities.
To finish off on a personal note, we asked Leonard to tell us what first made him take an interest in biodiversity and helping the environment.
Many ages ago in my own life, it's something I would have started out after leaving secondary school. I would have studied environmental science. It's something I would have moved away from, but I did do that. It's something that, from my own personal point of view, since I've moved into a different area of work in terms of mental health and well-being, some work I would do, I'm very much acutely aware of the benefits for people in terms of their well-being to be in nature, to be aware of nature. I'm also very much from the science point of view, know that how important ecosystems are to the ongoing health of the planet, and obviously all of us who live within that planet. That's from food systems point of view, from pollination point of view, so we need to support that. just small things, it excites me. Like, a friend of mine introduced me to an app on my phone, and I'm not great at using kind of the more fun aspects of phones. It's very much work orientated, but that you can just open up this app and you can, in an environment like here today, you can open up and it will identify all the birds that are around you. So that's a really nice, gentle way you can engage with the biodiversity that's all around you. A neighbor of mine in the last number of weeks decided we had a green space in our estate that I live here in town. And he just asked the resident association, could he put a pond in? Over the space of a weekend, he has created something that is going to be a little oasis for nature. So something that was well manicured green space and is minded, you know, by our resident association. But from a nature point of view, it wouldn't be very strong. Now, in the weeks, months and years ahead, hopefully, we will have frogs, we will have tadpoles, birds, pollinators coming to that area. So that's something I would encourage all estates even in town. And it's not just about town, we're talking farmers, water systems. But me, as someone who has always lived an urban existence, we can live with nature. And I've always been excited by that. And I see it's my happy place in terms of on a Sunday that I like to just be in nature. That thing that calms me after a busy week. Yeah. And I see the benefits. So yeah, I'm actually really excited by this. Many of the roles I've taken on within the council, this is one I could see, if Wexford do it well, and I saw the people who are on the committee with me, there's a lot of really, really strong individuals coming from a really knowledgeable background. That if we do this well in Wexford, we could be a template for the country. And it's something that there is that legacy piece that for the people of Wexford, without knowing that Wexford have stepped up and are actually going to do something that's going to make a difference.
Back to the children. And as we move on from speaking to someone who has power in terms of biodiversity in our local communities, we decided to ask the young people if they were in charge of protecting nature, what would they do first?
If I was in charge of protecting nature, I would protect the bees, because without them humans could go extinct. So I would let the grass and wildflowers grow, which then support other insects, and then they'd maintain the healthy soil.
I would try to enforce new laws to encourage people to care about the environment more than they already do, and spend some more money on like climate science regarding like how we can recycle better and like how we can effectively recycle.
Adamstown is a village in County Wexford, Ireland. It is located about 24 kilometres northwest of Wexford, 20 kilometres east of Neros, and 20 kilometres southwest of Enniscorthy. The community is proud of its rich history and keeping the village itself clean and environmentally friendly for locals and visitors. Adamstown Development Association was formed in 2019 with a view to improve the quality of life for residents of the village and wider community. The centre of this lies in the biodiversity of the village, so we met up with some members of this association to find out more. We began by asking local resident Magella Stafford to talk about some of the work that they do.
The people of Adamstown are very good for getting together, and even when there isn't a spring clean day, they will go out and do it anyway themselves, and they will take sections of road, and even when they're out for a walk, you will see people picking up rubbish and putting it together, and they'll go back up the road then at a later stage and collect it with their car and bring it home and put it in the bin. Well, there is, definitely, without a shadow of a doubt, and I did attend a meeting there before Christmas about the community or the County Council climate action development. I mean, things like rainwater harvesting, say, in the local community centre. Plans would be, hopefully, to eventually develop the hall in Adamstown, put in rainwater harvesting there, put in solar panels as well for heating of water. I myself put solar panels in my house last year, and on a day like today, I'm virtually 100% off the grid, which is absolutely fantastic. The other thing, I have forestry planted on my land.
Next, we ask Magella what the community are doing to make the most of biodiversity in the local area.
It's wonderful to see the green area with lots of trees, because when you go to other countries and you look at the difference between Ireland and other countries, our country is so green, it's so lush. Even from the point of view of putting oxygen back into the atmosphere, the planting of plants as well, which will of course bring more bees, more insects. Our bee population is dying. Anybody who owns hives will tell you that it's becoming an issue at this stage. So even for people in their gardens to put in more flowering plants, to put in things, you know, that you can get flowering plants that will bloom from January right through till the following December. Simple things like that. Also, maybe to plant more hedgerows where trees are cut down. And sometimes they do have to be cut down because they're so old, they're so rotten in the wind. There's a risk of them falling on trees or falling on personnel when they're walking. So again, when they do cut down those older trees, that they would plant in younger saplings, which will come back in time to replace those trees that are gone. And I suppose other things as well would be to put in, I know I have it on the farm, it's a kind of a biodiversity pond where you would have different plant life and you would also have different animals that will grow there. I mean, when I look down on the land, there is so many different species of animals and birds that are down there that are incredible. And it would be a wet area, so it's now designed as an area of special conservation. And the other thing with it as well is, you know, where there's areas of land that can't be farmed, or say where there's areas in the village that are wet, that are boggy, you can put in, say, different plants that will grow there. And the Community Development Association are now working with the primary school, and as part of that we're also putting in a sensory garden which can be used by everybody in the community, the elderly, so it's going to be open to the public, not just for the primary school as well.
At the end of the day, associations like this in Adamstown need funding to develop and grow. So we asked Nigella if they had the funding they needed, where would it go and what would they do?
Well, I suppose more biodiversity if we could as well. And I suppose the big thing would be to make us more eco-friendly in terms of, say, our GA facilities, our hall facilities, our community centre, to put money there into, say, using solar panels to heat water, rainwater harvesting for the showers, for the toilets, things like that. But I suppose one of the things I think is maybe necessary at this stage, to get a bin is very discretionary here in Ireland. It's up to yourself whether you pay the money to get a bin and have household disposal at your front door. And I suppose one of the things maybe the government need to look at is that, I suppose, maybe to make it compulsory, maybe reduce the prices a bit of what it's costing, make it compulsory that everybody has to have a bin. And I suppose encourage people as well. We've become a very disposable society. You go now to the local coffee place, you get your coffee cup, you get your takeaway sandwich or whatever, and for people to get into the habit, put your sandwich wrapper into your coffee cup. If you're driving, you can put it on the floor of the car. You can put it. Most cars nowadays have holders for coffee mugs, coffee cups, things like that. So why do you have to open the window and throw it out? Become conscious. Keep a bag in your car. Put your rubbish into it. Bring it home. Put it into your own bin. And if everybody took that attitude, Ireland would become very green and very, very clean. Not just the Adamstown area, but County Wexford and the whole of Ireland. And that's what we'd ask people to do.
To round off today's programme, we will hear from some of the students from St. Mary's Secondary School in New Ross, who this year worked really hard on various projects in conjunction with biodiversity. They first tell us about the Wildflower Project.
So our New Ross Wildflower Project is creating scenic areas of native wildflowers in opposed to large grass areas and barren landscapes. These small meadows around the town may look messy, but in reality, although we might make it look like we are all pristine, we're all a bit messy underneath that face. We reached out to different communities and businesses in the area. For example, we reached out to primary schools such as Marymount National School in the Roar, tidy towns such as the Tidy Towns in Tulliher, hotels such as the Brandon House Hotel, and different bars. We're hoping that this can create communities and bring people together, because when we're all working together to save this planet, it'll be way more worth it than just someone doing it on their own. We made sure that each group of people were well informed on how to take part in the Wildflower Project and provide a discount code to buy all of the seeds.
We made flyers and we gave them to businesses and schools. Mm-hmm. When we figured out which businesses and schools were interested in it, we made more detailed one, telling them what they can do and how to be involved in the projects. Mm-hmm. We also personally reached out to some of them, trying to get them involved. Mm-hmm. We featured in the New Ross Standard multiple times, and we've travelled to represent the school for our climate committee a lot of times as well. We've also had many biodiversity informative talks in the school, and to reach us, it's at mrfitzharris@stmarysnewross.org.
Not only were the students working on a wildflower project, but they also worked on an oak tree project, and they told us all about that too.
2 years ago, 130 recycled bottles and acorns were collected.
and then they were planted, and last year we gave them out to all the first years with birth certificates that they could, so that they could adopt them, and then a leaflet on how to care and look after their oak tree. And then over 4 weeks last year, we collected over 100 more recycled bottles and acorns that we planted to give out this year, but a mouse got in and ate them all.
Stop. Really?
And finally, we hear from teacher Mr. Levy about a film project the students did very well in.
So we had a group of transition year students who entered the Rubbish Film Festival in conjunction with Wexford County Council. They held a two-day workshop. They participated in the two-day workshop where they created a film highlighting the negative impact that humans are having on the environment. And they created a super film, which we entered then into the Rubbish Film Festival County competition, where they won first prize. And they went forward then to the national competition. But it's an excellent initiative, because among young people in particular throughout the country, it raises awareness of the negative effects that we're having on the environment.
And that's a wrap for today's adventure on Arts to Protect. We've seen how every bug, bird and blossom has a role to play in the amazing web of life. And guess what? So do you. Whether it's planting wildflowers, saving water, or just learning more about the world around you, every little action helps protect our planet's biodiversity. If you missed any part of today's show, don't worry. You can catch the full episode online or join the conversation on our social media channels. We'd love to hear how you're making a difference in the community. Thanks for joining us today on Southeast Radio. Don't forget, our Earth is ours to protect. And every day is a new chance to make a difference.
Ours to Protect on Southeast Radio.
Ours to Protect, brought to you by Southeast Radio, the IBI, and funded by Commissioner Na Mban with the television licence fee.